I surrender. In my usual style, I never ever get everything right. You may have noticed I've come in without the Bible. What I will do is, whilst the choir is singing, I'll go and get it. I apologise. Good morning all, and welcome to this, our service this morning. Emmanuel with Highworth are members of the Old Town Partnership, and we look forward to sharing this time together. The notices are all as is on the weekly news. As far as I'm aware, our reader today was supposed to be Helen Marston, but I believe she's not here at the moment. Helen, no? Then I'm sorry, but you'll have to put up with me. The readings today are from... Sorry, I am remiss again. We start off by welcoming Moira Slack from Christchurch, a return visit. You are very welcome, and we look forward very much to your leading us in worship today. Thank you for coming. The readings today are from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 9 to 13, and if you want it now, they are on page 164 of the Pew Bible. And the second reading is from Luke chapter 22, verses 24 to 30, and that also will be in the New Testament section on page 83. There will be, I believe, tea and coffee after the service today, and we look forward to you joining us in the hall after the service. I will take this moment now to light the Christ candle and the peace candle in preparation for our service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a joy always to be here, and it's lovely to see just how many people come up and personally welcome me. I always feel welcome wherever I go, but actually to connect, to make those individual connections with people is wonderful, and just a real joy, and we should be full of joy. New every morning is the love our waking and uprising prove. Through sleep and darkness safely brought, restored to life, and power and thought. We thank God that we have all woken this morning and that we come indeed with joy. And it's lovely to have this space to just have a little bit of room around us, to have some coolness on this beautiful day, but just to be sheltered and to be still with the Lord and with each other. Lord, we thank you that you have called us to this place, that you have called us to come and worship you, and that we are able to respond. Fill us with joy. Fill us with hope. Fill us with peace. One or two people have noticed I brought my teddy bear, a teddy bear. Hello! This is, there's a pattern called Teddies for Tragedy. I've seen some heads nodding. And it's something that, I don't know who started it, but it's a very simple pattern for knitting a little teddy. And the idea is that they are made for children, perhaps who suffered natural disaster, for children who've had to flee from their home. Such a sad thing to think of a child without any toy, without any comfort. But if you need to flee for whatever reason, you grab the essentials. And the essentials, really, when you need to travel light, aren't toys. So the idea is that these teddies are made and sent often to disaster zones in areas where there have been bad floods, where there have been earthquakes. They are sent to war zones. Today is Ukraine's National Independence Day, which is, of course, a very bittersweet phrase in the current situation in Ukraine. But a few years ago, when Russia invaded Ukraine for the second time, so many Ukrainians came to this country seeking sanctuary. So many Ukrainians came here. They hoped for a few months, a few weeks maybe. And so many years on, there are many of them left here. But I made quite a lot of these teddies for Ukrainian children that were here. And in particular for one family that was being housed by the Methodist minister, by Stephen Rowe and his wife. And that family had, I think there were something like 9 children involved, not 9 brothers and sisters, but cousins and children that had come together and making these teddies. And this is the one I've kept for myself. So he's here today just to remind us of the sadness of the disaster of Ukraine, but of the hope, of the resilience, of the strength of people. So Lord, as we come to worship, help us to set aside the things that are on our hearts and minds, the things that so often busy us, that we may focus entirely on you and on your presence with us. A bit of a challenge for you today. We have 2 hymn books. The first hymn that we're going to sing is from Sing Praise, and it is hymn number 217, I Come With Joy, A Child of God. Are not the only things that God gives us to feed us. He gives us love and he gives us his word. Father, we give you thanks that you have created us, that you give us life, that you give us strength, that you give us joy. We thank you for this beautiful world. We thank you for the rainbow peoples of this world, the creatures, the beauty, the flora and the fauna. We thank you for our gardens. And we thank you that you give us hope, that you give us the promise of life eternal with you. That you love us, that you love us unconditionally and want us always to be the best, the very best that we can. Amen. Let's just take a short time in silence to think of our failings, our weakness, not only of ourselves, but of all humanity. After each phrase I say, please respond. Father, forgive us. For the times when we've acted in bitterness and in anger, Father, forgive us. For the times when we have acted selfishly, unthinkingly, Father, forgive us. For the times when we've been weak, when we followed the crowd instead of following our own heart. Father, forgive us. For the times when we have hurt another by misunderstanding, by lack of thought. Father, forgive us. For the times when humanity goes to war, kills each other, hates each other, out of selfish intent. Father, forgive us. Lord, you promise us forgiveness. Help us to amend what we have been, that in the future we may be better disciples for you. Amen. As we come to pray and to worship, let us join together in the family prayer, the great prayer that Jesus taught us, the great prayer that summons up all our prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. you can set aside your Sing Praise now, because the rest of the hymns this morning are from Rejoice and Sing. Our next hymn is hymn number 552, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. We have our Bible readings, please.
The first reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 9 to 13, and is on page 164 of your pew Bible. For I think that God has exhibited us as apostles as last of all, as though sentenced to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, to angels and to mortals. We are fools for the sake of Christ, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honour, but we in disrepute. To the present hour, we are hungry and thirsty. We are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. And we grow weary from the work of our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we speak kindly. We have become like the rubbish of the world, the dregs of all things to this very day. That's the end of the first reading.
We'll have them straight off.
Sorry?
We'll have them straight after. Carry on with the second one.
With a second?
Yes, basically.
Well, Master says he would like the anthem after both the readings, so we'll do what we're told.
The second reading is from Luke chapter 22, verses 24 to 30. And that is on page 83 of the New Testament in your pew Bible. A dispute arose among the disciples as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
There is a well-known phrase that says the customer is always right. But whenever I hear that reading, I think actually, you know, who is greater, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? Well, when I go for a meal, I'm very, very thankful for all those people who are slogging in the kitchens, who are bringing things out to me, the ones who get all the abuse and all that kind of stuff. That's just an aside. Our choir anthem this morning is a well-known hymn, "May the Peace of Christ Grow in Me."
Christ, my Savior, live in me, come to me.
May the thoughts of my heart, the words of my mouth, come always from thee, and be pleasing unto thee, who art our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
I've been engaged over the last few weeks on a television programme called Where the Axe Am I. Have you seen this? Some of you have seen it. The idea is that they started off, I think, with 15 strangers. And these are people, they're being transported around Europe on a big bus. They can't see out of the windows, except just now and again they're given glimpses of the outside world. And they have challenges on the way. And they have to guess at the end of each day where they think they are, a mark on a map where they are with a little X. And the person each time who is furthest away from where they actually are is eliminated. It started out, as all these things do, with people just kind of getting to know each other and actually wanting to share information and help each other out and maybe just find out what other people were thinking and if it concurred with what they were saying. But now we've got down to the last five, I think. And the inevitable is happening. Now they're all in competition. Now we actually keep things to ourselves and maybe even start feeding misinformation to other people. The prize at the end of the day is £100,000, which is ridiculous. Do you not think? For a game. And I think that's a problem. If it was just a small prize, you know, even if it was, say £5,000, I think people would enjoy it much more. But it kind of sets people deliberately against each other. Everyone loves being a winner. We don't necessarily all love winners, but we love being a winner. No matter whether it's in the test of skill or just a pure chance. A game, a sport, a quiz evening, winning a prize in a raffle. Even those who consider themselves non-competitive enjoy the warm glow of success. It's been a summer of big sporting events. The Women's Euros. The recent cricket test match series. Okay, that one didn't quite go to plan, but the real possibility of England winning games against India got everyone very excited, even just for a day. And for the next 4 weeks, the Women's Rugby World Cup will provide some relief from media coverage of crime, warfare, malnutrition, and other disaster. But with a few exceptions, that warm glow of achievement doesn't ever last long. There's always another game, another challenge, another record broken, another champion. Even being number one in the world in any context can only ever be a temporary situation until someone else comes and knocks you off your perch. A dispute arose among the disciples, Luke says. A dispute as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. No doubt there were many discussions about all sorts of subjects among the little band of disciples as they travelled about wherever Jesus led them. No doubt they didn't often agree. And probably each of them at some time felt favoured by something they had said or done, felt that they were the favourites. I guess with the benefit of hindsight, we might assume some hierarchy among the 12. Peter, called the rock on which Jesus said his church would stand. John, the beloved disciple, into whose care Jesus is reported to have commended his mother from the cross. The Gospels and the Book of Acts tell us snippets of others, of Matthew, Thomas, and Philip, for example. But we know next to nothing about some of the others, apart from that their names are listed among the 12. Who was Simon the Zealot, for example? Or Judas, not Iscariot, also known as Jude or Thaddeus? What did they do? Why are they so famed afterwards? Matthias is named in Acts as the one who was elected by the disciples to replace the infamous Judas Iscariot. But you know, there is no other mention of his name in the whole of the Bible, except that he was elected. The church has long assigned feast days for each of them. June the 29th to Peter, November the 30th to Andrew, and so forth. Last Wednesday, the 25th of August, the common lectionary marks as that of Bartholomew, who is also known as Nathaniel. Bartholomew is traditionally said to have introduced the gospel of Jesus Christ in India, in Armenia, and in Azerbaijan, though I don't think there is any evidence to support that. I know of one church dedicated to St. Bartholomew, where a colleague and friend of ours was one-time vicar. But it's the only one that I know. And I think when I looked it up or Googled it some time ago, there are something like 300 churches in this country dedicated to Bartholomew. But think how many are dedicated to all sorts of other saints. Which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest? I would love to have heard that argument. But like any parent asked to choose a favourite among their children, Jesus was non-committal. In fact, he seems to dismiss the question. The greatest among you must become the least, he says. St. Paul, in his first letter to the Christian community in Corinth, seems to take up that same theme. Personally, I often think that Paul goes a bit too far in his self-abasement. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them, he says, writing to Timothy. That in itself somehow seems almost to be a claim to fame, although I'm not sure that's how Paul intended it. The worst of sinners, the least of men, and yet think how much Paul did to spread the gospel throughout the Mediterranean in his lifetime, and how much his epistles have continued to encourage and to speak to Christians through the millennium that have followed. In the lectionary, there was a third reading listed for this morning from chapter 5 of the book of Acts. The apostles were all together in Solomon's portico, it says. None dared to join them, but the people held them in high esteem. Yet more than ever believers were added to the Lord, great numbers of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on, in order that Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he came by. Like, I guess, most of us, the apostles in training had lacked self-belief, self-confidence, as they followed their teacher around. But he had given them a good sound bound grounding. He'd given them a great commission to continue what he'd started. And now he was gone, carried back up to heaven before their very eyes, leaving them to carry on. Now, there was no question of which of them was to be considered the greatest. Each had been given the same commission. Each of them had been filled with the same inspiration from the Holy Spirit. Each of them had a job to do, a way to walk, a place to be. And now it's our turn, mine and yours. The clerical collar confers on some of us the church's authorization, recognizes that we have been tried, tested, and trained to stand as Christ's ministers. But we have no magic powers, much as we like to think perhaps we could. No one, as far as I know, has been affected by my shadow falling on them. No one, as far as I know, has found faith directly as a result of my influence. No one, as far as I know, has made a miraculous recovery from injury or illness. Yes, I believe unerringly in the power of prayer, the power to comfort, to reassure, and to heal. In the strength we are given through the sacraments, in the love we share with and for all creation, in the task that God sets before us. The challenges are immense. Messrs. Putin, Trump, and Netanyahu, could any of them really be regarded as the greatest? Are there any effective and achievable ways to significantly tackle climate change? Who will the world most need in the future? Scientists, engineers, farmers, plumbers, carers. But there is hope. There is always hope. There is always the love that people share. There is always signs of good things going on in the world. Just going back to my little Teddy, the fact that people care enough to spend time to make things, to go to the trouble of sending them to those who are in greater need than they are. There is hope. Going back with recently, we've been reminded of the ending of the Second World War. I was born a few years after that war, and I have lived through most of my lifetime in relative peace. Until very recently, I didn't believe that there would be world war again, although at the moment I'm not quite so sure about that. But people can learn to live together, can learn to reach out to others who have different beliefs, to others who speak different languages, have different cultures, to others who don't look like us, to others who don't think like us. We are given strength, and God promises us that we can find a way, that we can find eventually a way to peace. We know that we each have a place in that world, in that journey. May we always remember that. We all love being winners, and at times in life, we can all enjoy that sense of being a winner. But who is the greatest among us? We are created equally. God loves each one of us equally. God longs for the company of each one of us equally. All are created in God's image, Scripture tells us. If we truly believe that to be true, humanity, individuals, nations, tribes, religions, must surely learn to listen to each other and set aside that constant quest to be regarded as the greatest. I often say to children, who thinks they're special? Put your hand up if you think you're special. Okay, now again, put your hand up if you think you're special. Every hand should go up. We are all special. Not the greatest, but special, unique, the only individual created ever, just like us. And if we don't take our place, the world is depleted. Be strong, be joyful, be hopeful. Amen. Our next hymn, also from Rejoice and Sing, is hymn number 271. This is only one verse, so we're going to sing it twice. And if you don't sing it well, we might even do it three times. So we come to pray for the church and for the world, and we thank God for all his goodness to us. I base my prayer today on a hymn. And I've got the words printed out, and I can't see where they are in my book. Just hold on a minute, please, while I look to see if it's in either of these books. Indeed. Thank you, God. After each section, I'll leave a little space for your own prayer. And then in time, please join me as we respond. Lord, have mercy. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. Lord, we bring to you today a world in so much need of your love, of your healing, of your renewal. We pray for all those parts of the world that are all too often in our news, for those ripped apart by warfare, by natural disaster, by man-made disaster. We pray today for all who are struggling to feed their families, struggling to find a safe place to lay their head. We pray today for those places where there seems no hope, and yet brave souls continue to fight for others, to fight with ploughshares as well as with swords. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We are pilgrims on a journey and companions on the road. We are here to help each other to walk the mile and bear the load. The school holidays come towards their end. We pray for our school communities and for all places of education, of learning. We pray for those who are soon to begin a new journey, for the little ones just starting school, for those who are moving on from primary school to secondary school, or from secondary school to whatever comes next. We pray for our young people and for the teachers and all those who help them on their journey, for those who struggle with schooling. We give thanks for those who have received good exam results, and pray too for all who have found disappointment, those who feel themselves failures, those who are not sure what the next step is. We pray for those who are looking forward to starting new jobs, and for those recently retired, as they look forward not to going back to school, but to the next stage of their journey. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. I will hold the Christ light for you in the night time of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you, speak the peace you long to hear. So we pray for peacemakers. We pray for politicians and leaders of people, that they may come to look for peace and not to look for victory. We pray for those who take light into the dark corners of the world, for missionaries, for those who minister in places where the church is oppressed. We pray for those who are being conflicted with their own faith, for those who are suffering the dark night of the soul, for those whose doubts threaten to overwhelm them. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. I will weep when you are weeping. When you laugh, I'll laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow till we've seen this journey through. This life is a constant journey of joy and of sorrow, of triumph and of defeat. We pray for all who share the journey of others, for those who work in the medical services, for those who even now, right now, are working in a hospital, in a hospice, in our care homes, for those who are caring at home. We pray for those who can only sit and watch and wait, for those who share the suffering of loved ones and yet can never share that suffering truly. We pray for all who are sick, in body, mind, or spirit. We pray for those recovering from procedures, among them Robert, as he continues his recovery. We pray for those who are coming to the end of their lives, that they may find peace and reassurance, that they may be free from pain and distress. We pray especially for any who are known to us and those who have asked our prayer specifically. You are the great healer. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
When we sing to God in heaven, we shall find such harmony, born of all we've known together of Christ's love and agony. We give you thanks for those who have accompanied us on our journey, those who've helped us to come to faith, to come to know Jesus as our Saviour. And we pray for those who are on that journey. For those who have yet to hear. For those who have been hurt by the church. For those who feel themselves rejected by the church. We pray for those in training for any role of leadership. And we pray for ourselves, that we too might be good beacons of your gospel through this dark world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Let us be as Christ to the world. Pray that we may have the grace to let others be our servants too. We pray for those who grieve. We pray for those who walk with others. We pray for those that we don't even see, the invisible, the marginalised. We pray that this world may find peace, may find ways of living together, not only as brothers and sisters, but as companions of all creation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Do we have an offering this morning? Our final hymn this morning repeats that word, Hosanna. Our last hymn is hymn number 523. Passeth all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son Jesus Christ. The blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon each and every one of you and all those for whom you care and pray this day and forevermore. Amen.